I want to join with Brother Gerald in welcoming each one here this evening. We have several that are visiting with us here, and we really enjoy and appreciate your presence with us tonight. I've met some of you in years past, visiting at Oak Avenue or relatives and the things, that sort of a nature. And so it's good to see you all once again and to meet others that I had not met before and some that I'd heard about and been praying for. And so to be able to have Brenda with us tonight is a pleasure as well. If I could offer you a life that is guaranteed to give the following, would you be interested? A life that would have joy that is greater than any other joy that you might experience in this world, that might have blessedness that is happiness in its fullest measure, an assurance of entering into the eternal home of our Heavenly Father, and a peace that surpasses understanding. But of course, you know and understand that I can't offer those kind of things to you. But there is someone who can, and that, of course, is Jesus the Christ. I want us to turn, as we begin this evening, to John, the 10th chapter, and in verse 10, where we can read the words of Jesus. It says, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly." Jesus tells us that he came into this world that we can have life. And not just have life, but have abundant life in this world. He came that we can have life and that we might have it abundantly. And he offers this abundant life not just through the sacrifice of himself on the cross, but also through the many things that he taught while he was here. You might turn to John the 15th chapter. I'll show it up here. But in John chapter 15 and in verse 11 of that chapter, Jesus made the statement, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." It was through the teaching of Jesus that the joy that he had to give and to share with others could be received. Through the teaching and the preaching that Jesus did. And so it's through his teaching that we can learn about the abundant life that he wants us to live. I've been telling the brethren here for 6 months since the idea of this meeting came up, that I was going to be preaching on the five secrets of living. And that's what we plan to do. And they're all found in this chapter of John chapter 15. And so if you haven't turned there, go ahead and turn there. Because we'll note some passages there. Some we'll have on the screen. And so that might be helpful. But nevertheless, you may still want to turn over there. But there in John chapter 15, we remember that chapter because Jesus uses the analogy of a grapevine. He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And he goes on talking about us as being the branches in the vine. And it's a wonderful illustration, and a great many lessons can be drawn from this one particular passage of Scripture. But as I've said, we're going to be focusing our attention on the five secrets of living as talked about by Jesus there in John chapter 15. And they are good lessons, and I hope that we'll profit from the things that we'll consider. The key really to all of these lessons that we're going to look at this week is the proper use of our life. But now before we take a few minutes to read the text that we want to look at and focus our attention on there in John 15, let's first of all talk about the background to the passage just a little bit. This is one of the very last things that Jesus had to say to his disciples before he left them. He had already celebrated his Last Supper with his disciples when he gives this instruction to them. He knows that the next day he's going to be put to death in a very cruel manner, that he's going to die the death of a crucifixion. And thus, this is one of the very last things that he has to say to them. Now, if you were on your deathbed and you were like Jesus, you knew that tomorrow you were going to die, what kind of things would you tell those that are close to you while you're laying there on your deathbed? I suspect all of us, if we recognized that that's what was happening, that we would try to talk to our loved ones about those things that were most pressing on our minds, those things that were most important to us. And thus we ought to view the words of Jesus here in John chapter 15 as being some of the most important things that Jesus shared with his disciples. One of the most important conversations that he ever had with them. He wants to make sure that when he leaves them, that they understand their real role, not as apostles, but as disciples of Jesus Christ, as men that are committed to him. Now, throughout this week, we're going to do two things to try to help us in our studies. We've already done one of them tonight. I asked Tracy to lead that song for us about the vine and the branches. We're going to sing that song every night this week, because that song is based upon the text of John chapter 15 and this story of the vine and the branches. And just by singing that song repeatedly, we're going to be more and more familiar with the words of our Lord as presented in this chapter. But then also what we're going to do each night, we're going to take the time to read John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 17 every night, so that we can set the words of Jesus firm in our minds. If at the end of this week you don't remember anything I said, if you don't even remember who I am, that'll be fine if you'll remember the words of our Lord. And so we're going to do that each night, sing that song and read the entire passage, so that the message of Jesus can be set firmly in our hearts. So let's turn to John chapter 15, and I have it on the screen if you want to just read it here. And I use the American Standard, as the brethren here know, and so it may render the passage slightly differently than what you may be accustomed to. But let's take the few minutes that we need here. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do the things which I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that ye should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye may love one another." And so here's the text of Jesus. And in this text again, he's giving us five secrets to living that abundant life that Jesus wants us to live. Well, in this passage, we're going to focus our attention this evening on the secret of living. And the secret of living is fruit bearing. The secret of living is fruit bearing. To really live, to really fulfill God's purpose in our life, then we have to be fruit bearers for our Lord. Now let's go back and reread four particular verses. to focus in on our points. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. And then finally in verse 16, ye did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that ye should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so four times in these verses, Jesus focuses his attention on the fact that we are born, live, and die to bear fruit for our Lord. You see, we're branches. And we live and exist for the purpose of bearing fruit. And if you aren't bearing fruit for him, then you're not living the abundant life that the Lord wants you to live. Now, I want us to spend a few moments to notice some implications of this concept. What are some things that this concept about us being branches in the vine of Christ, what are some things that are implied by that? Well, first of all, we would make this point that we must tap into the vine. We must tap into the vine. You know, I'm not a branch until I become a part of the vine. When you think about it, a branch that's not attached to the vine is nothing. A branch that's not attached to the vine isn't alive, and it's not able to bear fruit. A branch must be tapped into the vine. And in our case here, of course, the vine being Jesus Christ. We're not capable of accomplishing anything unless we are tapped into the vine, Jesus our Lord. And so it's important for us to do that. We've got to establish an intimate relationship with him in order to be the fruitful branch that he wants us to be. But something else, our life is in and through Jesus. If you were to ask a professional golfer, for example, what is your life? I suspect that their answer would be, well, golfing is my life. And, of course, we could ask the same kind of question of any number of other people in this world. What is your life? Well, it's going to be what they are focused on in most instances. Ask a Christian, what is your life? And if he or she gives any answer other than Christ is my life, then he or she has missed their calling. Because Jesus has called us to be branches in him. And he's clearly showing us in this passage that there is no life for us apart from him. That we live because of him and through him and in him. And that's where we have our life. He is the source of real life for us. And without that life, we can't bear the fruit. And we can't have the life that he ultimately wants us to have. How can we claim to be living for Christ when we never spend any time with his word? Or we think that think of him only on Sunday morning? Or we don't seem to ever come into real contact with him? You know, to the golfer, what is your life? Well, golf is my life. Well, when was the last time you went golfing? Oh, 5 or 6 years ago. It's ludicrous to think that golf is their life and they never go out and play golf. If something is your life, that's what you're going to be eager to participate in. Well, if Christ is our life, if we recognize that we are branches in the vine of Christ, that our life depends on Christ, we are going to want to be involved with him intimately at every opportunity. At every opportunity to be assembled together with brethren to worship him. To be assembled together so we can study and learn more about him. To spend time in prayer with him. We're going to want to draw intimately close to him. Because he is our life. Now we need to make this note that we live and have our life in Christ. And by Christ, through Christ. And not through the church. Far too many have their lives wrapped up in the church, quotation marks. And they never come into real contact with the one who shed his blood for the church, Jesus Christ. They go back and forth from home to church on Sunday, but then they go to their job on Monday and they totally forget about the Lord. They spend the week living for themselves, not even thinking about the things of God. Come Sunday again, they'll be back at church. They're wrapped up in things pertaining to the church and the activities of the congregation, but their life is wrapped up in the church and not in the one who died for the church. We need to be careful that we not think more of the group than we do the one who is the leader of the group. Now, I'm not saying that that the church is not important, because the church is vital to our existence and our being able to maintain our faith and to be able to accomplish many of the things the Lord wants us to do. However, if you truly tap into Jesus Christ as the vine, if you truly tap into Him, that's when you can have real life. And that's the only time that you can bear the fruit that we're talking about this evening. And if you're really tapped into Christ, of course, an obvious consequence of that is that we will be more involved in the local church and its activities. So we're not saying the church isn't important. But let's make sure our attention or our focus, first and foremost, is being close with our Lord and not just the church. But another point we need to think about, and that is, if we're not in the vine, we cannot bear the fruit of that vine. You can't take a branch from a grapevine and put it on an orange tree and end up with a tree that's going to bear both grapes as well as oranges. It just doesn't work that way. You can graft a branch from one plant to another, but it's not going to still be able to bear the grapes from the vine that you took it off of. It won't do that. It'll only bear the grapes as long as it is a part of that vine. It will only bear the fruit of the vine it is attached to. It will only bear the fruit of the vine it is tapped into. The fruit of the branches produces, it's a direct result of that relationship that it has with the vine. And likewise, you and I, we can bear fruit for God, but only if we're tapped into the vine, Jesus Christ. There are many who look upon themselves and view themselves as being a good person, good moral individual. Surely the Lord would be pleased with them and the way that they're living their life. And yet they've done nothing to tap into the vine of Christ. They think that they have the life that Jesus came to provide for them and for all of us. But in reality, they don't, because they've never tapped into the vine. We've got to tap into the vine, Jesus Christ. The question really isn't how good of a person that they are, but have you tapped into the vine, Jesus Christ? And if you're not, then you cannot bear the fruit for God that He wants you to bear. You remember over in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about some who were of that frame of mind. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning at verse 21, says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He never came to know them, because they'd never tapped themselves into his vine. No one can bear fruit for God unless they are in Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ could make that statement that he did over in John chapter 14 and verse 6. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." We must tap in to the vine, Jesus Christ. The only way that we're going to produce the fruit for God, to be pleasing to God, is to be tapped into the vine, Jesus Christ, and to produce the fruit that vine directs us to bear. When we are tapped into Christ, we will bear the fruit of the vine, Jesus Christ. Another thought that we need to consider, and that is that a vine doesn't bear fruit for themselves. Is there anyone here tonight who has raised grapes? Anyone at all? A couple? All right. Remember, my dad used to have grapes along a chain link fence behind the house. And, you know, he enjoyed doing that. You wouldn't get a whole lot of grapes out of it. He enjoyed doing it. But, you know, my dad never, at least he never told me that he ever went out there and caught those branches on the grapevine, you know, chomping down on the grapes that were growing off of themselves. They don't do that. You know, they don't do that. Branches don't produce the fruit so they can consume it themselves. They produce fruit that can be of benefit to others. We are branches in Jesus Christ, not so that we can do for ourselves, but we exist to bear fruit that others might be able to reap benefits, that others might be able to eat of the fruit that we bear and be able to live. Branches produce fruit for the husbandman, for the one that's responsible for their growth. You remember John chapter 15 and verse 1, how did Jesus begin this chapter? He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. We bear fruit for the husbandman. We bear fruit for God. We bear fruit for His glory and praise. And then there's this implication, that first comes foliage, then comes the flowers, and then finally comes the fruit. If you don't have the foliage and the flowers, you won't have the fruit. Growing up, my mother was from Central Florida, and my uncle R.J., R.J. Brown, he always worked in association with the orange groves. Worked for a fertilizing company, actually, and sold fertilizer. And so he was in and out of the groves all the time. Whenever he came to visit, he brought great big bags of fruit. But, you know, those orange trees, got to see them a lot. Those orange trees have foliage. They've got leaves all over them. And when it's in the process of growing, those orange blossoms come out. But you know what? Those orange blossoms don't taste a thing like oranges. Only after the foliage and the flowers have come do finally the fruit come. And it's something that we need to think about too. It's true in the life of the child of God as well. The Christian must have time to be firmly rooted into the vine, Jesus Christ. We must have time to grow and to bring forth the foliage, then the flowers, and finally the fruit will come. We should not expect to become a child of God to be one that's grafted into the vine of Christ and immediately begin seeing the fruit come. There's a process of growth that has to take place first. Remember over in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews talks about the growth that should have taken place with them and it hadn't. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. He says, for when by reason of the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid meat. Not of solid food. And so by reason of the time, and that implies that there is a time when we weren't expected to be able to partake of the meat of the word. There's expected to be some growth to take place. A process whereby we grow from just the milk of the word to where we can partake of the meat of the word. A time in which we're developing the foliage and the flowers, and finally we reach the point that we can be productive in the sense of bearing the fruit that He wants us to bear. That's why a lot of times new converts, they seem to be the most eager about reaching out to the lost. But they're the least prepared. They're the last people in a way that ought to be doing that just simply because of their lack of growth and their lack of having been prepared for that work that is that they are undertaking. We've got to undergo that process of growth before the fruit can come. Now let's turn our attention to some kinds of fruit that we are to bear. There are different kinds of fruit that we can find alluded to in various places of the New Testament. And if we'll bear these fruits, then and only then will we truly be living as the Lord would have us to be living. That's when we'll be able to to have that abundant life that Jesus came to give to us. And the first of these fruits I want us to just simply notice are good works. Remember over in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Apostle Paul makes reference to good works. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." The Lord wants us to be busy with good works, as he called them. And it's not up to us to figure out what the good works are. He said, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. The Lord has already prepared the good works that we're to be involved in. And they're found in the various places of the New Testament that we might read and study and find them. And so we're to be engaged in good works. Well, over in the other passage that I have there, Colossians 1 and in verse 10, Paul says, "To walk worthily of the Lord and to all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." One type of fruit that we are to bear are the good works that we are to be engaged in, those works that God afore prepared that we should walk in. And so as God's children, we need to make ourselves aware of what those things are, as found in so many places of the New Testament. But something else that we might often think of when we think about bearing fruit, and that is indeed the idea of winning souls for Christ. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Here we are, branches in the vine. We're branches in the vine, and branches bear more branches. And as they bear more branches, more fruit can come, of course. Branches replicate themselves. Branches produce more branches. Branches produce more of what the vine would lead them to create. Over in Romans, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks about his desire to come and to visit with them. Some apparently were charging Paul with being ashamed of them and of the gospel, and he denies that in verse 16. But in verse 13 here, he says, "And I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you and was hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles." What's he talking about? He was talking about his desire to come to them and to preach the gospel to them, that some there also would obey the gospel of Christ. Indeed, one of the fruits that we ought to be concerned about bearing for our Lord, our vine, Jesus Christ, is the fruit of souls, the fruit of those that are lost coming to the Lord. It's called by other ways, in other places in the New Testament. In Mark 1, it's described as being fishers of men. In John chapter 4 and in verse 35, it's bringing in the harvest. In Jude verse 23, it said, "And some save, snatching them out of the fire," rescuing people from the fire. And so it's described in a number of different ways, but rescuing souls. The salvation of others, though, can only follow on the heels of our own salvation. In order to be able to save someone else, we've got to first of all save ourselves. How would we be able to save someone that's drowning if we don't know how to swim ourselves? We can't. We have to first of all graft ourselves into the vine of Christ, allow ourselves to be grafted into the vine, and only then can we be able to bring forth more branches to be grafted into the vine. We cannot bear the fruit of soul saving until we have first saved ourselves. Sometimes, though, that's what we might see. Maybe it's some parents who have some young children, and they've come to realize that they've made a lot of the wrong choices in life. They want to see their kids come up better, and someone has offered to pick their kids up and take them to Sunday school, and so they're eager to do it. They're eager that they will be exposed to that, and maybe they'll turn out better than they are. But then they don't. And they're frustrated because it doesn't seem to make them any different than themselves. It shouldn't be any surprise. because they haven't done anything to change themselves first. Shouldn't be a surprise at all that they are unsuccessful in leading another to the Lord when they aren't willing to do that themselves. If it's proper for the children to become Christians, then certainly it would be proper for them to do so as well. But, you know, you can't convince someone to like things like food. You can't convince someone to like a food that you don't like. I would not be very good at convincing someone to like broccoli. I'll just tell you. Or spinach. I'm not the one to convince someone else to like those foods, because I don't like those foods. We have to, first of all, do it ourselves. We first of all have to allow ourselves to be grafted into the vine first before we can graft others in. And we need to understand that in the process of bringing more branches to the vine, that it's not us. It's not us who are saving the lost. Of course, it's the Lord. Here in our passage of John 15, and in verse 4, Jesus had said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me." The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's Jesus that saves souls. We're just the tools or the instruments through which he works to bring about that salvation. So we can bear the fruit of winning souls. We can bear the fruit, we see it referred to as in the sense of sharing with the needy. And I take this from Romans chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the Roman brethren and writing of his desire to go to Jerusalem to bear some gifts there, but then to come and visit them. In Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 28, Romans 15, beginning of verse 25, Paul said, "But now I say, I go into Jerusalem, ministering unto the saints, for it hath been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints that are at Jerusalem. Yea, it hath been their good pleasure, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, they owe it to them also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have accomplished this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will go on by you unto Spain." And so he calls these contributions that he was going to carry to the needy saints in Jerusalem a fruit. And so we can bear this fruit as well as we look out for one another and tend to one another's needs in Christ. Those physical things that might be needed because of circumstances of life. Think about it. Since Jesus, the vine, did this during his life, it should be no surprise that we, as branches off the vine of Christ, should likewise be characterized by caring and sharing with those that are needy. Something else. That's the idea of holiness, or Christ-likeness, a Christ-like character. In the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6 and in verse 22. Romans 6 and verse 22. Paul says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life." The American Standard, sanctification. The King James, holiness. This passage tells us that we're to be enslaved to God, and from that a benefit can be derived. We bear a fruit, the fruit of sanctification, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of a set-apart life. That's an important fruit for us to bear. An important fruit that can bring forth even much good as we seek to influence others for Christ. Remember, over in Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I think they would fall under this category or this idea here of Christ-likeness, of being holy, having a set-apart life. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, he lists them. He said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so it's to be, these are the result of a life that's being lived centered around the Spirit of our Lord, a life that is lived in the Spirit. These are the kind of things that characterize Jesus our Lord. And therefore it should not be surprising that they are things that we as branches in the vine of Christ should also be. The branches bear the fruit of the vine. And they were the fruit of Jesus, who is the vine, therefore it should be our fruit as well. Remember over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, the Apostle Paul said, "For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We're to be conformed to the image of his Son. The branches are to take on the form and image of the vine. And therefore, what Jesus did, the kinds of fruit that Jesus bore, are the kinds of fruit that we are to bear as well. We are to be set apart, sanctified people. And that means we're to be different from the world. That seems to be one of the biggest challenges for a lot of people, is to allow themselves to be viewed as different from the world. But we're not to be like a soldier or like a hunter who's got on camouflage clothing to just blend in with the background. We're to be viewed as different. Not just for the sake of being different, but we're to be living the kind of life that indeed is different from the way that the world is living their life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul speaks about it there. When he said, "And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're to be different. We're to be different, viewed as different from the world because of that Christ-like character that we have sought to put on, of being set apart from sin for God's service. And so we're to be examples of holiness. That's another fruit that we're to bear. One other that we'll notice, and that is, offering praise and worship unto God is referred to as fruit. Over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 15, the writer of the book of Hebrews spoke about it in that way. He said in verse 15 of Hebrews 13, he says, "Through him then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is, the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. We're to offer the fruit of our lips in praise and worship of our Lord as well. And that doesn't just mean on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or a night like tonight when we're gathered together as a group. We're to offer worship and praise unto him every day, but especially when we have the opportunity to be with brethren. The vine himself was known for praising his father. The vine himself was known for praising the husbandman. And we must praise and glorify the vine as well as the husbandman as we conduct ourselves as faithful branches in the vine of Christ. We can produce this fruit when we praise God in prayer and sing our songs to praise God. We can bear this fruit as well. All of these fruits, I think, are important for us to think about as branches in the vine of Jesus Christ. Fruit bearing is supposed to increase. We're supposed to bear more and more fruit. We're not to be satisfied with the fruit that we have already bore, but we're to double down and work hard so that even more can come forth. John chapter 15 again in verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit." He wants us to be constantly increasing in the fruit that we bear for him. In the business world, there's a saying that goes, if you're not advancing, you're losing ground. You know, we in our investments, we recognize the wisdom in putting our money and investing in things that are going to increase in value. We don't want to put our money into something that's going to just be the same year after year. You don't want to put your money in investing in stocks or what have you in a company, and 30, 40 years down the road, it's the exact same price per share as it was when you bought it. You want to see it grow constantly. And it's not enough that it grew well 10 years ago. You want to see it growing every year. What are you doing for me this year? We need to think in the same terms with regards to our service to the Lord. We run into Christians from time to time who think about what the service that they were able to give to the Lord in years past. You should have seen me back then and how much good I was able to do, how many people I was able to talk to and convert to Christ. That's good, but what are you doing now? Congregations think that away as well. I've worked with congregations who were stuck in the past, who were stuck in the mentality of what they had been doing so many years before, when they would have big lectureships and the building would just be overflowing. But what were they doing then? What were they doing in the present? It's good that we were able to bear fruit in the past, but it's more important for us to think about what are we doing as fruit bearers for the Lord today. We're to constantly be growing in our bearing of fruit for the Lord. And so what we've seen this evening is the secret of living. That the secret of living is fruit bearing. But now what I did not tell you tonight is what is the secret of fruit bearing. The secret of fruit bearing is also found in John chapter 15. And I would encourage you to spend a little time reading over John 15 and give it a lot of thought. What is the secret of fruit bearing as presented by Jesus in that passage? That'll be the focus of our lesson tomorrow night. The rest of the week are still secrets. We'll get to those. If you're not a child of God, you can't begin to bear the fruit that the Lord wants to see you to bear for Him. You can't begin to do that. Becoming a child of God is step one for you to be living that abundant life as a fruit-bearing branch in the vine of Jesus Christ. Becoming a Christian is the very first step. Allow yourself to be grafted into the vine, into Jesus Christ, through your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then work day by day to bear the foliage, the flowers, and finally the fruit that will come. If you're here tonight as a child of God who has not been bearing fruit for Him, then perhaps you need the prayers of the brethren that are assembled in this place tonight. We would be happy to pray with and for you this evening. We invite you tonight to come as we extend His invitation. Come and be a fruitful branch in the vine of Jesus Christ. While together we stand and while we sing.
I am excited to follow Jesus.